Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Hey, for those of you that are joining us this morning, again, welcome to Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are continuing our teaching series, which is titled I Don't Know or IDK. Today we're on part four, and we have one more week. For those of you that are not aware of it just yet, August has five Sundays, and so this series, of course, is going to have five parts to it. So next week we'll have part five, which will be the conclusion of this series, IDK. If you have not submitted a question to me yet, and you desire to submit a question to me, then please do so that we can get you in on our last session or last part of this particular series. So in this series, I don't know or IDK, you know, we're asking ourselves questions, and you know, I've been asking you all month long to submit questions to me, and I'm going to do my best to try to answer those questions, you know, as best as I possibly can. And you know, we ask ourselves the question, what do we do when we have a question? You know, when you have a question, what do you do with that question? Do you ignore that question? Do you just kind of just let it go? Or do you actually seek for the answers? Do you search until you find the answers? You know, so often in our lives, we have questions and we just don't ask the questions. You know, it may be questions, you know, to one another, a person that we're in relationship with. It could be, you know, our father, our parents, a mother, our children. It could be, you know, our family members, you know, it could be anybody, you know, but we also have questions, you know, towards God, about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, this whole spiritual walk that we're in, you know, trying to live in this natural place and in this natural world, but also be connected and live in the spiritual realm as well. And because there's so many unknowns to us, we have a whole lot of questions. And so one of the things that I truly believe is that God is not intimidated by our questions. He doesn't feel disrespected by us asking questions. And, you know, any good question deserves a good answer. And so I've been challenging you all to submit questions to me, and let's not be afraid to ask God questions that we may be able to seek the answers to it. And in that, you know, there are some questions I shared in the beginning. There are some questions that we can clearly answer, but then there's other questions that we just cannot answer. And we may never have the answer to it. Maybe if there is an answer to it, maybe God is waiting or holding on to the answer to that question until the right time, the right appointed time. That appointed time could be sometime within your natural lifetime, or maybe it could be when you transition into that heavenly life or that eternal life that has been promised to all of us. But we understand that there are some that we can answer. There are some that we cannot answer. You know, there's several scriptures I've been sharing from the beginning, continuing throughout this series. So today is going to be no different. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. If you want to know, then you have to ask. A closed mouth don't get fed. Amen. Yeah. If you want the door to be open to you, you got to knock. You walk to somebody's house. If you want to enter, what do you have to do? Ring the doorbell. Knock on the door. You know, so that you can enter in it. If there's something that's lost, then what do? You seek until you what? Until you find it. And somebody's mic, just a minute here. Never mind, I got that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get what? Understanding. One of the ways that we get understanding is by doing what? Asking questions. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep waters, but a man of what? A man of understanding will draw it out. We want to draw out something that's deep in our hearts so that we can gain what? Understanding. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his own opinion. We don't want to be fools that are only concerned about expressing our own opinions, but we want to be people of understanding. Amen. And by being people of understanding, then we have the ability, or we have the knowledge, to be able to share understanding, not only with ourselves, but share that understanding with other people. The main point is, a great question teaches us, and it also transforms us. So why are we asking ourselves these questions? We ask ourselves questions because we want to continually be people who are teachable. We want to continually be taught. You know, it's a bad place. It's a bad thing when you come to a place where you are no longer teachable. So we want to forever be people that are teachable. But we also want to be forever people who are willing for our thinking to be transformed. Because guess what? Sometimes the way that we think about certain things, because we don't have the proper information, or because we have been molded to this certain place, like in our society, you know, the Bible says that we're molded, or you know, we're formed in molded into iniquity, or formed into iniquity, or trans. Anyway, I just messed that scripture all up. So that's why I'm an imperfect being, right? Right? I'm an imperfect being serving a perfect God. But we have our mind, our thinking is sometimes molded and it's transformed into with false information. And that false information leads us to this place where we need to sometimes have our thinking transformed by what? Correct information. So again, the main point is that great questions, they teach us and they transform our thinking. Amen. So at the very beginning of this series, I asked you guys a question to consider, a question to consider. You know, you guys are thinking about questions that you can submit to me that I can do my best to answer. And if you're struggling with trying to come up with a question, I've been constantly giving you guys questions to consider. The very first question I gave in the very beginning is, if you could ask God one question, what would that question be? Another question I asked you guys is, if you can ask Jesus one question, what would that question be? And today I want to pose to you guys, you know, if you're again, to give you a question to consider when submitting a question to me. And that question is, if you can ask the Holy Spirit one question, what would that question be? So again, that's another question to consider. If you want to ask the question to me, oppose it to me concerning something about the Holy Spirit that you want some understanding about, then you can consider that as well. So today we are about to get into some questions that have been submitted to us over the past week. And there's been like six questions that were submitted to me. I'm not going to be able to get through all of them today, but I'm going to get through three. There's three of them that I have that I'm going to get through. If I don't get to your question today, then you're going to have to tune in next week to get the answer to your question. All right. I'm not going to stay on here, but for those of you that know me, hey, I don't stay on here forever. You know, I was taught a long, long time ago when I first got into ministry by my pastor who licensed me. He said, Brother Byron, he said, you don't have to say it all in one day. He said, you can always come back next week and finish it off. I said, that's a good lesson, Pastor. I'm going to take that lesson. So I ain't going to try to answer all the questions today. I can always come back next week with the answers of your questions if I don't get to it today. So here we go. First question that was given to me, and it says, am I doing the right thing? Whoa, am I doing the right thing? So this question is a bit broad and a bit general. And in some sense, it is a little bit too broad and a little bit too general. So, you know, you have to be more specific in with this question. And, you know, you have to describe what it is that you're doing for me to be able to answer the question. You know, are you doing the right thing? There's two key words in this question, that is doing and right. And so we have to you have to be able to describe what you're doing so that I can be able to determine or to help answer the question, are you doing the right thing? So are you doing the right thing? So what we're doing here in these questions, we're asking questions. You know, everybody, hopefully you are posing questions to me concerning God, concerning Jesus, the Holy Spirit, concerning this spiritual walk, this natural walk, concerning life, you know, and its connection to God and all those things. So when we ask these questions, so I want to consider this question, you know, in regards to God. So am I doing the right thing in regards to God, or am I doing the right thing when it comes to God, or when it comes to religion and so on? So this is how I'm going to attempt to answer your question. I'm going to assume that's what you were referring to. So are you doing the right thing when it comes to God? All right. So I hope this kind of give you some direction on this question. Are you doing the right thing when it comes to God? Even this question here is a little bit too broad and a little bit too general, and you must be specific and you must describe what it is that you're doing. There's a lot of things that we can be doing in regards to God and concerning God to try to determine if we're doing the right thing or not. So let's talk about what's right. Okay. What's right? If we talk about what's right, hopefully you can find some direction in this. So the word right, here's the meaning for the word right. The word right means to be morally good. It means to be justified or to be acceptable. All right. So morally good, justified, or acceptable. So ask yourself the question, am I doing what is morally good? Am I justified in doing these things? Or the things that I'm doing, are the things that I'm doing acceptable to God? Okay. So to be morally good, it means that you generally have good character. So in order to understand or to look at being morally good, we're talking about what's right. Okay. If you're doing what's right, if you're doing the right thing, then you're doing those things that are morally good. To do those things that are morally good, it means that you are generally, or that you generally have good character. Okay. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, it says this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kinds of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no judgment against these things. Okay. This is a very, very, very important part of this scripture. There is no judgment against these things. If these things are being demonstrated in your life, if these fruits of the Spirit, as the Bible describes them, as Paul, the Apostle Paul describes them, if these character traits are being demonstrated in your life, there is no judgment against them. I mean, God is not going to judge you against these things, because these things are what? They are morally good. Okay. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace. You know, if you are peace, there's a scripture in the Bible. It says, those who sow peace sow a harvest of what? Righteousness. A harvest of righteousness. If you are a peacemaker, a very good moral character to have. Patience. Patience is a very good moral character to have. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is this: when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you're going to do your best to do it. You're just not throwing out there false words, or you're just not throwing out there words that are just very fluid and very liquid, and they just, you know, just turn into whatever. You are staying true to your word. You are staying true to your commitments. You know, you are faithful to do what you said you were going to do. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, what is our faith in Jesus Christ? Our faith is in Jesus Christ, that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. He's going to keep his word. And because he's going to keep his word, we have faith in him. He is a faithful leader. He is a faithful savior, a faithful Lord. And so we have to be faithful as well. Whatever we say we're going to do, that we're going to do our best to hold true to that thing. That we're also gentle. You know, we are very harsh. We live in a very harsh world, and we deal with people all the time. And we're very harsh, very mean, very cruel. You know, there's a family member that's on here right now. I'm not going to call her name, but I sometimes say to her, and she, you know, it's a joke, but, you know, I say, you just mean for no reason. Sometimes we just mean for no reason, you know. We need to be, but at the same time, this person is so gentle, a very, very gentle person. But we all have this harsh side to us, and we all have this this gentle side to us as well. But we need to be more gentle than we are. Sometimes we just crush people's spirit. You know, somebody's trying to be happy. They're trying to be full of joy. They're trying to enjoy or celebrate a moment. And then we'll come and say something real cruel and real hard and real harsh and just crush their spirits. We need to be gentle. Self-control. Self-control means you just need to be able to control yourself. Sometimes we know we do stuff and we ain't got no business be doing. And we get angry real fast, or we blow off at the mouth real fast. We say stuff real fast. We do stuff real fast. You know, we sometimes do stuff, you know, fall into temptations real fast. We do a whole bunch of stuff that we know we're not supposed to do because we're not exercising self-control. And sometimes we find ourselves in trouble or doing things that we shouldn't be doing or in places that we shouldn't be because we did not exercise self-control. So one, on this part about doing the right thing, being morally good. If you have these character traits, then you have some morally good character traits in your life or that have been demonstrating your life. Another part of being right is to be justified. All right. So to be justified is to be declared righteousness or to be declared right with God. OK, so now I'm going to get a little spiritual with you. When I say a little spiritual, we're talking about some real Bible stuff right now. OK, I can go to some natural stuff, but I'm going to stay with the spiritual side of this one. Okay. So to be justified is this, or to be justified or to be in right standing with God is this right here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 and 5, it says, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight, makes us right in his sight, makes us good in his sight. We're doing the right thing. Okay. He makes us justified in his sight. Okay. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of sin. For God gave Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins, for the wrong things that we were doing. Okay, he gave Jesus as a sacrifice for the wrong things so he could put us in a place of right standing. All right. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. If you want to be justified, if you want to be right in right standing with God, then this comes by your belief in Jesus Christ as the one that God gave as a sacrifice for the penalty of our sins. Okay, which means that no matter how bad we are, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus Christ, confess him as our Lord and our Savior, then we can be forgiven of our sins over and over and over again. But Paul said, should we sin that because grace so much more abounds, grace for the forgiveness of sin? He said, no, that's stupid. You don't keep sinning because you got grace. But the bottom line is this, God loves us so much. And because of what Jesus did for us, our sins can be forgiven constantly just by going to Jesus with a pure, sincere heart. Jesus, man, I'm sorry. Not man, I'm sorry. But Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I keep messing up. I keep doing wrong. I'm trying to do what's right. But sometimes I know, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I don't even try to do what's right. I do wrong knowing that I'm doing wrong. But Lord, I love you. And I'm just out here trying to do, you know, the best I can. So please, please, I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I did. You know, when you go to Jesus with a sincere heart, because he died on the cross for your sins, for the penalty of the wrong that you did, you are in right standing with God. God is saying, you're my child. I know you're going to do wrong. I know you're going to mess up. And he said, one of the greatest things that you can do is just come to me and apologize for what you did. And that's what Jesus did for us by paying for the price, you know, with his life because of our wrongdoings. Then you are in right standing. You are doing the right thing. The third thing about right is this: to be acceptable. So when you're right with God, you're also acceptable by God. So now to be acceptable is this. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I plead with you. The apostle Paul was saying this to the Romans, the church in Rome. And he said, I plead with you. I beg you. So for those of you that are listening right now, and watching right now, I plead with you, I beg with you, my brothers and my sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and what? Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So many people have a misunderstanding of what this is actually saying and what this actually meaning, especially when it goes to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, well, what does it mean to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? Well, guess what? You are a living, breathing being right now, walking around on this earth, breathing this air that God has blessed you to breathe, you know, living this life that God has blessed you to live. You live in your best life, or you live in your life the best that you can. You don't want one or the other, okay? You live in your life, or you live in your life the best that you can. The fact that you are living your life It is reason enough to give God his due service. In other words, you need to give God something. Give him something. He's giving you life every day. I plead with you, my brothers and my sisters, by the mercies of God, God has given you mercies every single day you wake up. Because the reality is we've all done enough wrong to wish that we should be gone. And the fact that he woke us up this morning is him expressing his mercies, him shedding his mercies on us and saying, hey, I'm giving you another day. I'm giving you another day by the mercies of God that you do what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. What is your reasonable service? Your reasonable service is why are you living that you will give some of your life, some of your time to God? Well, what does that look like? Well, maybe it's showing up on church on Sunday mornings. You know what I mean? Maybe it's showing love to people, showing patience, those good character traits, those morally right character traits that I talked about in the beginning, those fruits of the spirit. Maybe it's by just being patient with people, showing gentleness to people. You know, maybe it's accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You know, but here, every single day of our lives that God sheds his mercy on us and wakes us up, we need to give God something. We need to give him something. We need to talk to him. We need to pray with him. When I say pray with him, I'm not saying, you know, oh, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Bless me to do the things that I'm supposed to do this day. Amen. And going about our lives. No. Have a conversation with him and talk to him. When I say talk to God all day long. Now, when I say prayer, when we say talk to God, we're talking about praying, right? But talk to God don't mean you have to bow your head every single time. Man, you could be riding down the street, you know, in your car. Lord Jesus, man, help me get to my next destination. You know, Father God, I thank you right now. You done kept me safe from point A to point B. You know what I mean? It's just like, just talk to God. And not only talk to God, give him some service. In other words, ask yourself the question, what can you do today that will be of service to God? It may simply be blessing somebody's life. Because what here we got, Jesus gave two commandments. And those two commandments that Jesus gave, one of the things that he said, he said, two great commandments that I give you. He said, one, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and your might. Love God with your complete being. Every breath that's in your body, love God. Every moment that you have in your life, love God. Love God, man. Know that God is God. Not only is he God, he is your heavenly Father. But he says, Jesus said this. He said, the second one is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. He commands you that you need to love yourself. And the way you love yourself, and as much as you love yourself, love somebody else also. Love your neighbors. Love people. We have our mission here at the corner, or our vision at Crosstown Church is we love God, love people, and serve the city. Okay, love God. Jesus said that's the greatest commandment. He said one that's equally important. Do what? Love people. Love people. Okay, love people, and then what? Serve the city. Serve the city is us being presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable cause, which means that somewhere, somehow, we're going to find a way that we're going to give God some time. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when you do these three things, be morally good, be justified by believing in Jesus Christ, and give God some of your time, some of your service, you will find that you are doing the things that put you in a good position with God. They make you put you in a right place with God. Right with God is this: restore to a normal and an upright position. When you are in a right place with God, you have been restored to a normal position and an upright position with God. And those things right there will put you in that place of doing what's right. All right. So I hope that answered your question. I hope it gave you some information, some direction, some understanding when it comes to your question. All right. Second question I got for today, and that is, why am I still here? Woo. Again, this is a loaded question. You know, I told you guys that I'm up for the challenge. I love a good challenge. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love a good challenge. And so here's another question that is there's a lot in here. Why am I still here? You know, I can answer this question in many, many different ways. in many ways, I can answer this question. Why are you still here? You know, I used to ask myself the question, you know, in the beginning, in my early 20s, when I came to a place where I was really seeking some direction in my life and really thinking about, you know, okay, here I am at this point in my life, in my early 20s. But where am I going to go from here? What am I going to do? What type of a person am I mean, what does my future hold for me? You know, I was looking at what 5 years from now, what do I want my life to look like? 10 years from now, what do I want my life to look like? And in that, it led me to a place where I was really, I just really began to seek God and to seek Jesus Christ. And I just said, God, Jesus, if y'all real, if this, all this stuff I've been taught as a child concerning y'all, if this stuff is real, I need y'all to show me, because right now I'm trying to develop a future for myself. I want purpose in my life. You know, I want to live a successful life. I want to live a life, you know, that's not trash or whatever. I want to live a long time. So y'all got to show me y'all real. Y'all, Jesus, show me you're real. God, show me that you're real. And in that, you know, there are some things that begin to happen to my life, and it begins to happen real fast as I began to really seek to see if God was real and to see if Jesus was real. And some things began to really happen in my life fast. And I began to see, you know, my past, you know, and there were things that happened to me in my past that a lot of people today are no longer here. Meaning that there were some things that I experienced in my past, or there's some things that I did in my past, where there are people who are no longer here from experiencing the same thing or doing some of the same stuff. And I would ask myself the question, God, why me? Why me, God? Why are you having so much favor on me? Well, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Why do you love me so much? Why am I still? And I began to ask myself, why am I still here? When you ask yourself, if you're whoever this is that asks this question, if you're asking yourself the question, why am I still here? In essence, you understand and you realize there must be a purpose for your life. If you're still here, there must be a purpose for your life. And the reality is that there is a purpose for everybody's life. But the fact that you're asking this question, it means that you're at a place in your life where you're beginning to seek the purpose for your life. And not just seek what you want to do and stuff like that, but no, seek, why do you exist? Why am I still here? So again, like I said, I can answer this question in many different ways, but I'm, you know, for the sake of encouragement, for the sake of encouragement, I'm going to answer this question this way. Consider it a blessing. I want you to hear me. Why are you still here? Consider it a blessing. Like I said, we can answer this question all types of ways, and I can fill it with all types of stuff, and we can sit here and talk about it all day long, but all of that's really not necessary. What is necessary is how you consider the fact that you woke up this morning and you're still breathing, and you still have life. Consider it a blessing. God having mercy on you and your life is a reason that is reason enough to understand why you're still here. God blessed you. God is constantly shedding mercy on you. With all the bad that we've done in our lives, and I said this before, with all the bad that we've done in our lives, And you know, there are no real reason why we're still here. With all the wrong that we do, all the bad that we do, all the stuff that we do purposely and intentionally, knowing that we're doing bad and knowing that we're doing wrong, why? There's no real reason why we're still here. Like I said, there are people who have done some of the same stuff that we've done. So there are people who have experienced some of the same stuff that we experienced, you know, and they're gone. They go. I mean, I remember as a young child, me and my brother and sister, we were walking home from school, and we were standing at the corner at a street light, and we were getting ready to cross the street. And for some reason, my shoestring was untied. And as we stepped out into the street to cross the street, and me not paying attention, I stepped on my shoestring and I tripped and I fell. When I fell, this is the honest to God truth. When I fell, there was a car turned around the corner coming in my direction, And that tire stopped inches from running over my head. Honest to God, truth. I ain't do nothing wrong, but there are people who just simply tripped and fell and died. I tripped and fell and a tire stopped 2 inches from my head, and I'm still here. I mean, I can go on and on and on with different experiences in my life. And I know every single person on here, you can think of experiences in your life where you've experienced something or you did something. And there are people that are gone today from experiencing something very similar to what you experienced. Consider it a blessing that you are still here. Why am I still here? Because God continues to show his mercy on me. That's why I'm still here. That's why I'm saying there's a famous rap artist that I like, and his name is Lecrae. Some of you may be familiar with him or not. If you're not familiar with him, get familiar with him, especially a lot of his older work. I love his older work. But Lecrae, he's a rapper. He does inspirational and Christian rap. He has a song that's called Crossover. And I want to read just one of the verses in his song called Crossover, okay? It says, life's way more than ice and rims, and you don't make enough to pay for the price of sin. God's gonna judge you, dog. That's reality. Saying you don't believe is like saying there ain't no gravity. The running and going and jumping off of the cliff, and when you hit the ground, tell me what you get. Why are you running from the freedom of this gospel? You hostile? You looking like you're Lucifer's apostle? But God got you. And though we all deserve death, we still keep putting breath, or he still keeps putting breath in our nostrils. But you treat him like he's an obstacle. See him come at you, come at your convenience like a stop and go, waiting for a sweeter deal or a sign or something, like God ain't come down and die or something. Trust me, dog, God wants the best for you. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is addressed to you. God wants the best for us. And the fact that we are still here still says that God still wants the best for us. Take advantage of every day that you have. I wake up every morning and throughout my day, and I say every morning, I'm saying that generally because some days I just get so, my mind gets so clogged with a whole bunch of stuff, you know, the issues of life that I don't do it. But most days in my daily prayer, I ask God to show me what my purpose is for this day. A lot of time we look for our purpose in life in general, and we want to identify that one purpose, and we want to live our whole life by that one purpose. But here's the reality. Tomorrow's not promised. And because tomorrow's not promised, then today, what is your purpose? If you ask God, God, show me what my purpose is for today. And, you know, something will come across your path. Someone will come across your path. An experience may come in your life. And you will realize, like, this is my purpose for today. This is my purpose for today. My purpose is to help this person. Or my purpose is to say something to this person. My purpose is to do this or to do that for that day. Understand, ask God, why you're still here? What's your purpose for today? For today. And make sure that you do that thing for today. Amen. I hope that was able to help you out, give you something. I don't know if I answered your question in totality, but I hope it did give you some encouragement. I hope it did give you some direction. Third question and last question for today. For those of you, again, I remind you that if you are on here and I did not get to your question, I had multiple questions submitted to me, and I'm not going to get through all of them today, but I will, if I don't get to it today, I will answer your question next week. But the question for today is this, and it's our last question for today. And that question is, why is it that we encounter troubling things when we are already suffering and grieving? The pain from grief is hard enough to deal with. Adding on chaos and drama can bring someone to their breaking point. You know, we go through things in our lives, and we go through grief and we go through, you know, trauma. We go through, you know, the loss of a loved one. You know, there's stuff that we go through in our lives. And when we're in a, excuse me, when we're in a grieving process, or when we're in a place of suffering, you know, the traumas that we experience in life, we're trying our best not only to seek answers, but we're trying to see some direction of how to get through it. You know, we're also trying to find healing. In the midst of trying to find healing, we're also trying to heal others or help others find their healing. You know, it's a whole thing. You know, when you hurt yourself or when you're sick, you go through a whole process of trying to recover from being sick. You know, if you have a cold or something like that, you know, you'll do stuff like you'll take some NyQuil or you take some cough drops, or, you know, you may get a headache and you'll may get an ice pack and put on your head, and you may lay down and try to get some rest so you can recuperate with your body strength. You know, your diet, the food that you consume may change. You may look for different foods that's going to help you to recover and regain your strength. You know, even the things that you drink, you know, your activities will change. You know, if you're the type of person that's in the gym working out all the time, or you run or walk all the time, when you're sick, you may not do that as much anymore because it just drains your strength. In other words, when you're sick, there's a lot of things that you change in your life and your daily habits, and you start to do certain things that help you to recover, to help you to feel better. And then as you start feeling better and as your health starts coming back and the sickness starts going away, then you slowly begin to gravitate or transition back into your normal life routines again. You know, when you're grieving and when you're suffering, it's the same thing. You begin to change some things. Some of your habits begin to change. Some of your thinking begin to change. Some of the things that, you know, your activities begin to change. And because you're trying to find healing, you're trying to find some comfort. You know, you're trying to find a place of normalcy again. And so these things happen. And then while you're in that midst of all these changes that are going on, because you're trying to find this place of healing, something else happens. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm still dealing with this over here. And now I got to deal with this also. And, you know, life has a way of throwing punches at us, you know, and it has a way of putting us in situations that we have to deal with. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that that whatever it is that you're built for it. And I think that some people, they deal with it in different ways, not because they're not strong enough to deal with it. It's maybe because it could be a lot of different reasons. Okay. I do know, like, one thing is that a lot of people make a mistake in is they isolate themselves. Isolation is not a good thing. Strength in numbers, you know, there's strength in numbers. So isolation, a lot of times when people, they isolate themselves when they're dealing with different things, they'll slowly slip into depression, and that's not a good place. Isolation is a very strong indicator of depression. But there's a lot of different things that how people deal with, you know, with the grieving or with the sufferings that they're dealing with that causes them to break, or causes them to, you know, to reach that breaking point. And so, but here, this is what I want to do. You know, in the very beginning of this series, you know, I said that there are some questions that we can clearly answer, but then there are some questions that we can't answer. And so with this question here, I want you to know that I do not have the answer for this question. And I'm going to read this question one more time. Why is it that we encounter troubling things? I can't answer that question. Sometimes why we encounter troubling things is because, you know, we put ourselves in a situation, or because of life situation. You know, I don't know why, but I just find myself in a situation. I got to deal with it, you know, and sometimes it's because nothing that we did. We just there. So I really can't answer that. Why is it that we encounter troubling things when we are already suffering and grieving? Again, that's a hard question to answer. The pain from the grief is hard enough to deal with. Adding on chaos and drama can bring someone to their breaking point. So, so, so true. And so, like I said, there's some questions we can clearly answer, some of them we can't. This question I cannot clearly answer. And so with that being said, I'm going to do the best thing that I can do. I'm going to do the thing that I believe that God and the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. And that is to provide encouragement. We don't always have the answer, but we can provide encouragement. We can find encouragement. And so by providing some encouragement, then I hope this would help you out. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, he was one of the greatest writers in the Bible. And I always say, and I truly believe this, when it comes to understanding Jesus Christ, when it comes to understanding the character of Jesus Christ, the purpose of his life and the different things, you know, and trying to really understand and have a relationship with God, understand Jesus Christ, I believe that the Apostle Paul gave us the clearest picture of who Jesus Christ really was and really is. Here's something about the Apostle Paul also. He was faced, just like Jesus, he was constantly faced with questions. And in those questions, there are times where he could clearly answer those questions. But there are other times where he could not answer them. He just did not have an answer for it. In those times where the Apostle Paul did not have a clear answer for something, one of the things that he did constantly is he would provide encouragement. And so I want to provide you with some encouragement. I'm going to read some scripture here, and it's a long portion of scripture. But as I read these scriptures, let us all find encouragement. The book of Romans, I believe almost all the scriptures that I've shared today are scriptures from the Apostle Paul. He's one of my greatest writers in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he writes a letter to the church in Rome, and in this letter in the church of Rome, he was talking to them about, you know, the spiritual life, living in this spiritual life. We live in this natural world, this natural realm that we live in, but yet living in this natural world that we live in, we also are striving to have a spiritual connection, and that spiritual connection is with God. And the way to have that spiritual connection is through the Holy Spirit, okay? So with that, Paul he's talking to them and sharing with them about this spiritual life that we're living in. And, you know, there are some things that we can clearly understand. And there's some things that's just going to be tough. It's going to be hard to understand it. So he provided some encouragement here. And he says here in the eighth chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 18 through 30, he says, yet we suffer now. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, against the will of creation, it says all creation was subjected to God's course or God's curse. I'm sorry. All of creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and from decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time, right up to this very moment that we're in right now. We believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, even though we have the God, our Father in us, even though we have Jesus Christ in us, even though we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we're doing our best to live this life for God, with God, you know, in God, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait eagerly. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised to us. We are given this hope when we are saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit, again, Paul was talking to him about the Holy Spirit and living this holy life and living this natural life connected with the spiritual life. And the thing that we need to help us, or the person that we need, the one that we need to help us to live this natural life connected with the spiritual life, is the Holy Spirit. In verse number 26, he says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, there are times that we don't even know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us as believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Son is capitalized, Jesus Christ. He chose them to become like his son, Jesus Christ, who is a heir, who is royalty, who has eternal life, who is living in the kingdom. Amen. And so on. Okay. So that his son would be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them what? Right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory.
Amen.
I don't have the answer for, you know, all this grieving and suffering that we go through, and while we're going through it, then we hit with another situation of grieving and suffering, and it can bring us to a place of, a breaking point place. I do know this, that in spite of all that we experience in life, God loves us. He loves us. He has a plan and he has a purpose for our lives. And all this groaning that we're dealing with, all this suffering that we're dealing with, it does not compare to the glory that is yet for us to experience. Yeah. And that glory that is yet for us to experience, you know, it is going to it's going to explode. Our minds are going to blow up. Our heads are just going to explode because it's just going to be so good. It's going to be so indescribable. And the stuff that we're going on, you know, there's an old spiritual song. I am Carlton Pearson. Some of you, if you're old enough to remember him, he used to sing this old spiritual song, and it was a song that was around before he was even born, and it was called "Yet Holding On." He said, "I'm yet holding on." There was an old lady in his church that used to sing that song all the time, and she would sing that song, and she would say, "Yet holding on," and he would go visit this lady sometimes, and when she was in a nursing home, he tells a story. And he would go visit her in the nursing home sometimes. And she got to a place, she had Alzheimer's and she couldn't remember a whole lot of things. And he would talk to her. And I think her name was Mother Hubbard or something like that. He was, "Hey, Mother, how you doing, Mother?" And she would say, "I'm yet holding on. I'm yet holding on." You know, the sufferings and the grievances that we deal with in life, the issues of life, all these things that we deal with life. I just encourage you to yet hold on. To yet hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And if you feel like you're coming to a breaking place, seek help. Seek help and hold on. Hold on. Because the grieving and the suffering that we are experiencing in this lifetime does not compare to the glory that is yet before us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God loves you and we love you. And I just leave it at that, okay? So for those of you that did submit your questions today, I pray that I was able to provide you with some understanding or some direction or some encouragement in your questions. And I want to encourage you also. I told you guys that I'm up for the challenge. If there was other questions that arose as in what we shared here today, then feel free to hit me up, call me, send me a text message, you know, however you want to get in contact with me. And I will be glad to sit down and have a conversation with you on the phone over a cup of coffee or whatever. And, you know, my life belongs to you. And I committed my life to love God, to love people, and to serve the city. So feel free to contact me and say, hey, Pastor Brian, I have another question, or I need some more clarity on this, and I'll do my best to try to bring more clarity. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.